I don't want to be taught anymore by humans. I want you to tell me, what do I do? And he's going to answer you.
Welcome to Walk Like a Hebrew. Walk Like a Hebrew is a platform for Torah observant followers of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, to tell the story of how and why they came to be on this particular faith walk, a walk more closely modeled after Yeshua. We eat biblically clean, according to Leviticus 11, keep the seventh day Sabbath, and celebrate the biblical feasts as he did, even though it seems to go against everything we were taught in the church. I'm your host, Jody Odell. My guest today is Breanne Montgomery of Amarillo, Texas, and she talks with me about a few things. How the death of a beloved grandparent put her on the fast track of discovery about the Hebraic roots of Christianity, how uncommonly supportive her family has been, and she dishes a little bit about her soon-to-be husband.
Welcome to Walk Like a Hebrew. I'm here with Breanne Montgomery from Amarillo, Texas. I'm really glad to have you on. How you doing?
I'm good.
Now, you're engaged, right?
Yes, I'm engaged. I've been engaged since September. We've been dating since last October, and we met at Sukkot 2019, actually.
Awesome. So where were you before you started walking in Torah?
I grew up Christian. I was raised Christian. I come from generations, a long, long line of good Christian people. But of course, you know, they were taught, you know, the quote unquote regular Christian ways. You know, they didn't exactly keep Torah. I feel like a lot of Christians keep Torah, even though they don't know that they are, you know, like they eat pork and stuff, but they still keep a lot of Torah. And so that was my background. And my great grandma, she was like super prayer warrior Christian. Like, she did hair for over 50 years. I can't remember how long she did it. And she just, like, every breath that she breathed, like, she was just talking about Jesus and God and always trying to spread the word and stuff.
Awesome.
Yes. And so, you know, my grandparents, my grandpa was a great man of God. My parents are Christian and everything. And I went to a Christian school, grew up in church, but I had a really lukewarm walk of faith for the majority of my life. My grandpa passed in 2018, and that was really hard for me. And I'm also someone who can kind of be into what some people would call conspiracy theories, I guess you would call them.
Aren't they fun?
Not all. Yes. Not all, but some of them. And it was like after his death, I was struggling a lot. And I had run onto some conspiracy theories. I was just having a hard time. I knew someone on Facebook who followed Torah, but I didn't know that's what it was. I was kind of confused. I could tell that they were into the quote unquote, you know, conspiracy theories, and I couldn't tell if they were a Jew or a Christian or
kind of a blurred line there.
Yes, which I'm sure some people think that I follow Judaism now. I've told some people, like, no, I don't follow Judaism, but I was just having a rough day, and I reached out to them, and I remember they seemed to be joyful and happy despite knowing or considering the possibility of different, like, conspiracy theories, or not even just, if you don't want to use that word, just different, you know, the world just sometimes just seems so dark, and it can just get depressing. And I remember I reached out to them and asked them how they could be so happy and stuff with how the world gets dark sometimes. And long story short, we just started hanging out and stuff, and I did not think I would ever follow Torah. They would go to their, not church, but, you know, they would go meet with their congregation on Saturdays. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing that. I was like, I'm good with that. But it didn't take very long. That was like March of 2019 when the seed was just first planted. And that was probably like the middle of March. And by April, I was really starting to be like, okay, maybe I should start keeping Torah, but I wasn't sure. And near the very end of April was when I got my sign. I had asked for a sign because, like, my family, I love them, and they're such a great support system, and they're very supportive of me, and they encourage me, and you know, they've never let me do without or anything. But they were concerned at first because it does kind of seem weird. And like, I think they were scared I was going to like run away and join a cult.
Yeah. or lose your salvation or become a Jew or any of those crazy things.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so people would tell me like, oh, don't, you know, don't let this steal your joy. Don't let it enslave you. And so it would start to like scare me. You know, I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, what if I'm sinning by trying to keep the law? What if I'm nullifying grace? And so, you know, you can find teachings for either one. Oh, you know, when Jesus came and died on the cross and it was all done away with, we don't have to follow the Torah anymore. And then, you know, the other side of people saying, no, we do, like, we still have to follow Torah. We have to live as he lived. You can't eat pork and Sabbath has to be on Saturday. And so I just prayed that my mind would be blank and like erased, because I had grown up being taught one way and being taught that we no longer had to follow the Old Testament laws. So I just asked, like, I just want to know what you want me to do. Just tell me. And if it's to continue not following the law, then just tell me. And if it is to follow the law, then just tell me. I was really mourning my grandpa's death, and I went out to his graveside to read the Bible. What I was searching for, it wasn't even to do necessarily the Torah at the second. I had just prayed like a day or two prior, like, you're going to have to show me a sign. And then it was like, I was having a rough day. I really missed my grandpa. And I had looked up that verse where Yeshua, Jesus, he was saying like, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I looked up that verse, but I just, you know, I was getting some fresh air and reading out loud in the cemetery next to my grandpa's graveside. And I decided to keep reading and just happened to decide to finish out the chapter. And and a few verses later is when he says, you know, I don't want to misquote it. I don't like misquoting scripture, but it was just saying, you know, I didn't come to nullify the law. I came to fulfill, and not a jot or a tittle pass away from the law until all is fulfilled, or, you know, something like that. And it was just...
You pretty much nailed it. That's Matthew 5.
Yes.
Starts out with the Beatitudes and it ends with...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing what happens when you start reading and you just keep reading.
Yes.
That's something that comes up often.
Right. And you know, some people might be like, oh my gosh, like that was a coincidence. But I had just prayed for him to just show me, and the feeling that I had also when I read that, and I just happened to continue reading. It just, from that point, I was like, all right, Nick, here we go. And ever since then, I did my absolute best to keep the law. And that's when I officially became Torah observant for myself and knew that I had to live by that way.
Yeah, that's quite a shift, isn't it? So what all did you feel like you had to change, like, specifically?
Well, it felt like a lot at first, and I guess it kind of is, but my parents understand this now, but the way I would explain it to them is, you know, it's not a cult. It's really not anything different than what we were taught, in a sense of, like, I don't follow like some different book or like some other person's writing or like, you know, some religious leader. Like, this is the same Bible that, you know, that my great grandma would tell people about in her chair in her beauty shop. It's not anything new. It's just a few chapters before where we start. And so they understand that now. But the biggest change for me, weirdly enough, was probably the Saturday Sabbath. That was kind of hard for me at first. I don't know. Like, I really like to, you know, wake up on a Saturday and go to Sonic and get a tea and, I don't know, do whatever. Looking back now, it really wasn't that big of a deal. It was just something to get used to. And the clean and unclean food thing, that was a little different. I still feel like the Saturday Sabbath was a bit harder. What else was there? Oh, one of the biggest changes is the holidays, and that's still a little bit hard for people in my life and for me is, you know, I don't celebrate Halloween anymore. I don't celebrate Christmas anymore. I do like Sukkot during October, and I do Hanukkah during December. And I used to be like I was so into Halloween. I'm a makeup artist, and that was, oh my gosh, that was so fun.
That was a big day.
Yes, I loved Halloween. I loved haunted houses and all that, which I don't do anymore. And then, of course, Christmas. I feel like that was a shock to my family, but now, you know, I do Hanukkah, and I had them over for Hanukkah last year, and I plan on having them over this year. But I know, cool. I know it can be confusing to people because they're like, oh, you know, I'm not Jewish. I don't observe Hanukkah, and I'm not Jewish. I don't need to do that. And I'm like, it's not about Jews.
Yeah, you're right. It's not about being Jewish. It's about commemorating something that happened that's actually important to us as believers and followers of the Messiah. How did your family react? I mean, you've said a little bit, but did you encounter any kind of opposition? How did that all play out?
At first, they were worried. They weren't angry. Not my parents.
Oh, good.
The main word would probably be concerned. I think they, because it just seems so foreign, and they didn't want me to get so caught up in it that it started to like affect my mental health, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because from the outside looking in, it can seem like, oh my gosh, you have to follow all these laws, all these rules. You can't eat this. You can't do that. You can't spend money on Saturday. You can't blah, blah, blah. Like that's so enslaving. And, you know, don't, you know, grace is what saves you. The law doesn't save you. But they were just concerned, but still supportive. And, you know, like I said, I was first introduced to it in March of 2019. And then by the end of April, I was fully into it. And by that October, when I went to my first Sukkot, I mean, I work for my dad, and he gave me that week off.
Wow.
And they bought me a little space heater for my tent, and, you know, made sure I was safe, and they babysat my dog for me. And they were very supportive, pretty much from the beginning. Wanted to make sure that I wasn't going off the deep end and joining a cult or something.
Right, running off at the circus. So have they ever expressed any interest in learning about it?
A little. A few weeks ago, they had watched a church service online about the history of Sabbath being changed from Saturday to Sunday. And yes, and it was something that I had tried to explain, but I don't think I explained it very well. And my mom, she seemed curious about it and interested in it. And I was surprised that they watched it, and she was kind of telling me, giving me like a little history lesson on it. And I was like, yes, like that's what I've been telling you. Like
cool.
It was changed, but they haven't started keeping Torah themselves. They're very supportive of me and of my fiance, and they really love him. And he does a really good job explaining things to them, because he's been in it for like over 10 years. He can explain things a lot better than I can. Like, was it Peter or Paul's vision about the
Peter's?
Okay, yeah. Peter's vision. I barely explained that. Like, I was like, it wasn't about food. It was about people. And like, that's pretty much how I could explain it. Like, I was like, I don't know how else to explain it. And he was able to explain it. And they were actually like, okay, I get that. Like, I understand it now. But so far, they haven't started following Torah themselves, but they're still Christian and everything. My mom, you know, reads her Bible, and she has Bible studies every single morning and all that, but they don't follow Torah.
Well, I mean, it could be worse.
Yeah.
I think that's great that they're supportive. You know, it doesn't always happen like that. So you met your fiancé at Sukkot?
Yes. I met him at Sukkot of 2019. I was only 6 months into being Torah observant then. And my congregation here in Amarillo, they had told us about like a few different small things around town and in Paladuro Canyon and stuff for Sukkot. But I just felt like I wanted to go somewhere else. And I was thinking about going to a Sukkot gathering in Colorado or Oklahoma, which are both really close. And so I found the Feast of Sukkot that happens in Wewoka Woods in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I went there, and that was one of the prayers that I prayed. I prayed three main prayers, and one of them was that I would meet my husband if it was his will. And that happened. So
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. All right. So what do you call yourself when someone asks you about your religion?
Well, that really depends on who asks and how much of like an understanding they have. But normally I say that I'm a Torah observant Christian. I believe that Yeshua or Jesus, depending on who I'm talking to, I believe that he is the Messiah. And I also follow the Old Testament laws. That's the most widely used label that I label myself. People seem to understand that more.
They do.
There's a lot of confusion, too, with people thinking like it's Christian or it's Jews if you're not a Jew, you don't need to keep those laws. One of the last regular church services that I went to, the pastor said something about the law that was given to the Jews. And I was just thinking, if you had read your Bible before you started preaching, and I don't mean this rudely, and of course I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, if you had read your Bible before you started preaching, you would see it doesn't say, tell the children of the Jews to blah, blah, blah. He doesn't say that. He right. says, tell the children of Israel to blah, blah, blah. And then in the New Testament, it says, if you're a believer in Messiah, you're in covenant with Yahweh, you're a Christian, you are grafted in, you are Israel.
Yes.
And so Judah, they're one of 12 tribes. It's not just for the Jews. They're not every Israelite. It's anyone who is a believer that these laws were given to for an everlasting statute for all generations, you know? It's like an identity crisis, and we're confused.
Yes. Who are your favorite teachers? Like, what are your favorite resources?
Well, okay, three come to mind. Or, well, four, I guess.
Okay.
First of all, I know that this sounds ridiculous and like, duh, but the Bible, like,
yeah.
Pray and seek it yourself. And that is so important, because I still have people in my life who they'll say, well, you know, I watched this teaching last night, or, oh, I read this book on Revelation. And I mean, he goes through point by point and just explains it. And it's like, I can understand that. Whenever I started following Tori, you know, people would say, well, you know, I looked up this teaching and it really means this. And I'm like, you're going to find teachings for both. This person is going to say, this is what it means. And it's do away with the law. This person is going to say, this is what it means. And the law is everything. And like, just stop listening to teachers and stuff for a moment. I don't mean never, but I'm just, if you're really seeking it and you really want to find the truth, quit reading people's books, quit listening to sermons. And pray. That's what I suggest to everyone. Just say, I don't want to be taught anymore by humans. I want you to tell me, what do I do? And he's going to answer you. And
yeah.
And I feel like that's the most important, because you'll find whatever you want to find. If you research the law has been done away with, you'll find 1,000 articles that prove the law has been done away with. Or if you Google, we still have to follow the law, you'll find 1,000 articles that say you have to follow the law. The Bible interprets itself. It will tell you. So I would say that's number one. Then I really love 119 Ministries. And I know some people don't like them, but I really like how they make their videos and how they, it's like the way they do it is they present the information. And they'll tell you to test everything, even including
yeah.
their videos and their info that they give you, to test it for yourself. Go look
and
at scripture
for actually,
yourself.
They have actually gone back and changed teachings because
right.
somebody challenged them, and they removed
mm-hmm.
teachings altogether. And I would say it just shows their integrity, that they really mean what they say. Test everything, even our teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there.
I think another kind of a general resource that I would suggest to people is finding like-minded believers. And it can be really hard to find people physically, like especially in a small town. Even Amarillo is like at least 200,000 people, and it's hard to find Torah observant people. My congregation and two others that follow Torah, which is actually kind of a lot, but I only know one other person around my age, and then everyone else is quite a bit older than me. And I think it's really important that you at least have people that you can, you know, ask questions to, people your age and older that have been in Torah for longer. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can ask questions to. And the internet's really good. I would suggest to people to join Facebook groups of Torah keepers and stuff. That's helped me a lot.
Yeah.
I love being in Torah groups. And then the fourth one that I was going to say, which isn't accessible to everybody, one of my favorite sources or teachers would be my fiance, because he is he is like the wisest man that I know, one of the absolute wisest. Just he knows a lot, knows the Bible a lot from a historical standpoint. And, you know, he knows a lot about the law and a lot about the timeline and a lot about just different stories and stuff. You know, like I said, I went to church in a Christian school, my whole life, and he will tell me stories and stuff that I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And he can explain things, you know, like in Galatians, you know, different parts of the New Testament that some people will use to explain away the word. He can, or not the word, Torah. He right. can explain it and talk it through, or, you know, like Peter's vision, how it can be so confusing. He just has a way with explaining and showing other scriptures to back it up. And he's one of my favorite sources to get knowledge from.
What a treasure. That's fantastic. Oh, I love that. So you want me to list him in the show notes as one of your favorite resources?
Well, you can.
What's his name?
His name is Julius.
Are we going to just list him as Julius?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. Thank you. Thank
okay.
you so much, well, Brianne.
Thank
this
you.
This was a great conversation. I'm really glad we got to do this, finally.
Yes, me too. Me too.
Thank you for listening to Walk Like a Hebrew. This podcast is entirely listener-supported. Please consider making either a one-time or recurring donation by visiting sheholdsforth.com/donate or by subscribing to podhero.com, where $5.99 a month can help support all your favorite podcasters. Like and share our Facebook page at Walk Like a Hebrew. Subscribe to Walk Like a Hebrew on your favorite podcast app and follow us on Instagram. You can find links to the resources mentioned in this podcast in the show notes on your podcast app by visiting the link tree in our Instagram bio and on Facebook, or by visiting sheholdsforth.com. I love comments, feedback, and good reviews, so leave them wherever and whenever you can. As always, many thanks to Jack Lane for our music. If you'd like a free copy of Jack's CD, send an email to jacklane@earthlink.net. May Yehovah bless you. We'll catch you next time.